Bang! What is up, my pizzas? And welcome to the Keon New Age.
It's still
I liked it as much as I did with half energy.
Oh, thank you so much. The audience felt sympathy. I think it needed to set in.
Wait, is this the Bethesda conference?
Absolutely, and we're going to get there. You heard her voice. She is the author of her number one best-selling book, Next Essential Crisis. Nexi, what is up?
You butchered it, but hi. What's going on?
What were you going to say before you corrected yourself? Next Essential
You heard his voice. Actually, I'm just going to throw a curveball. You haven't heard his voice yet because he does what a good panelist is supposed to do and waits until his formal introduction. Curtis the Hammer Fisher, what is up?
See, it's always easier when you've been on the other side and you have to do all the editing. And,
yeah.
And while you're editing, you're like, that motherfucker. Do that one more time. Oh, yeah. And, like, I've been, like, everybody thinks I'm so nice, but, like, you guys have no idea what I'm like when I edit. That's why I don't really edit anymore, because things have been broken. I've harassed people, and I'm done for now.
So, and then our last guy, David Webb.
What's up, everybody? I play by my own rules. No strings. No strings attached to me.
I'm basically
Ultron.
Oh. Or Pinocchio, because that's what that reference
no,
was.
No, it's
from.
Ultron. It's Ultron.
I'll tell you this. That was one of the things that got me psyched for Age of Ultron when they did the I've Got No Strings to Hold Me Up. I was like, okay, Disney, I get it. You own Marvel now. But damn, dog. That's weird. Like uber meta.
Weird flex, Disney. Weird flex.
Weird flex, but okay.
David, you were gone. You were out of commission there.
I was gone.
For a minute. Everyone was worried. How you doing? Your health okay?
My health is okay. Was I gone on Saturday? I was here on Saturday.
Were you?
I was here on Saturday.
Was I here?
Yeah, you were here.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Wait, did we do a show?
We did a show.
Oh, I'm thinking Oblivion Comics and Coffee. We did our show over there at Oblivion.
And I was there for that, too.
Oh.
Curtis was gone.
That's the one I was.
Curtis was gone. Oh,
people,
my God.
People get us confused all the time.
Here's the thing.
But Nexus was here.
Nexus was there.
Nexus was there.
Whatever.
But yeah, you two are so similar. Everyone is always mixing you two up. So.
We have the same birthday. That's why I never take it personal if they're like, hold on, wait, you did that. I'm like, no, that was Webb, but we have the same birthday.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did our show, our trivia. It was Pokemon themed. Thank you to the group that showed up. Who won? The Pokemon got in second place. And then there's a friend of ours from Sacramento who's also a streamer.
Yeah, something about
Mike
North.
It was, I can't remember the name, but
it's
Mike,
a long name.
Lord Zephyr, you guys may know him in Twitch chat. He was talking some mad shit before the event. Like, he called his shot on all social media platforms.
He corrected us.
Yeah.
Our question.
Yeah, we got corrected. Well, yeah, that was tough. Then, but he did what he said he was gonna do, and they got first place. So congratulations to them.
Cracked me up about it. That was when Emma was grading it, and I was saying, "Hear her go, son of a bitch." Mike won.
Yeah, actually upset.
Hey, I like his Thanos approach. He achieved what he set out to do.
Damn.
Now we just need to collect the stones, go back in time, give someone else the answers.
That's not going to break the timeline or anything.
Nah, we're good. So thank you to everybody who showed up to that. We are still determining what our next one is going to be, but you can stay tuned to the social media channels of Oblivion Comics and Coffee, where if you go into their store and mention VGB at the counter, they will give you 10% off of your total purchase, which is pretty badass. So make sure you go into Oblivion Comics and Coffee, tell them VGB sent you, and reap the rewards of that discount. Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about. It is E3 full motion. We gave you two weekend episodes, and now we're going to recap the things that we didn't get around to. There's so much.
Is this more E3T?
This is more of our E3T.
Why the fuck you
oh, shit.
Lying?
Wrong sound effect.
I wasn't here for the Sunday show.
Oops. wrong sound effect. Yeah, so we're going to get right into it. So, E3. Oh, no! Oh, God! Oh, damn.
What you playing?
Well, if you guys don't know, basically, that was the What You Playing theme song. We never know when it's going to play. But basically what happens is the podcast gods bestowed upon us a responsibility to gamers, to Twitch kind, to let you guys know what we've been playing, to maybe inform your guys' future decisions and what you should play. We'll start with my friend across the table, David Webb. Man, what have you been playing lately?
I started playing Fallout 76.
All right. Crowd, what do you guys think?
I didn't spend any money on it. Before they boo me.
It was free.
Yeah, it's free.
It's free this week. It's still free. So
it's still free, yeah.
If you're listening to this now, you can go download it and give it a shot. So what did you think?
I thought it was okay. I liked the sped up intro where you awake in the vault, you do your character creation, and then you pretty much get outside the vault. Like, you could stick around and explore if you really want to, but if you want to get out and get going, you can. Everybody I talked to that's been playing the game, they said that the community is their favorite part. Everyone's hella chill there. The community is awesome. Nobody's really dicks in the game. In fact, I played with Aaron, and I was like maybe 30 minutes behind him in gameplay, and he said that when he first got out of the vault, there's some dude that just randomly walked up to him and was like, "Hey, here's some free stuff to get you going," and like dropped like some higher level armor and some weapons and everything. It's like, okay, cool. I like this idea. So I start playing for a little bit. The first person I encounter is a dick.
Oh.
He is high level. He's spawn camping the first major objective that you have to get. And then as soon as he kills us, he sticks around because we respawn in the same damn area. And then he comes and kills us again. And again. Until finally I was like, fuck this game. I'm out.
What sucks is they have been saying how much great the community is. They even made a point to say that on the stage show. And you know when it's a high level person.
Lies.
This is not another noob. Because my instincts was like, now it's going to be filled with free people. So yeah. Of course it's going to be garbage.
No, there's a counter. If I understood what it was right, there's a little counter on the bottom right of the screen that tells you how many people are either... I couldn't figure out if it was on the server as a whole or if it's just like in a certain radius around you, how many people are there.
Yeah.
But there's a kill feed in it.
Okay.
We kept seeing the same guy, something monster, kept just killing people in one area. So we're like, all right, well, we're not going to go to that area. I don't know why people keep going to that area, but we're not. We're going to still steer clear.
So besides that, what you did get to play of the game?
I actually thought it was a decent game. I could see why... like, not having a story would be frustrating, and I'm, you know, on board with them adding it now. I don't think it's going to really bring as many people back to the game. My favorite part about that was, and I'm sure you guys covered this already in the other episode, but the favorite part about that announcement was how the two presenters made it seem, first of all, was it the main guy at Bethesda? Nah, he's not going out there in front of this crowd.
Tom Howard?
Yeah. He's going to send out some other people to do this. It's too risky. But they come out and they say, so year one was all about breaking expectations and letting you build it. And then year two, we were introducing quests. I was like, no, bullshit. That was not the plan the whole time.
No, totally. So, I mean, are you going to play it again or were you one and done?
I don't know.
Put it this way. Are you going to play it after the trial?
No, I'm gonna wait and see what the quest when it comes out, what it looks like, and then I might pick it up because it's only $17 right now, and it's probably gonna be even cheaper at that point. So,
And I think it's a Game Pass game, right?
No, not yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Dang, I got it for free, so I have a full unlocked copy of that game that I got when I bought my Xbox One.
Oh, that's right.
I installed the game, and then all like a month long, you know, battle about vinyl bag or canvas bags and shit. So I just kind of didn't play it. For those
just
purposes.
Out of principle,
I just saw so many people bitching about, you know, microtransactions and how expensive things were, so it didn't waste my time. Curtis, what you been playing?
One thing and one thing only. And I was thinking about it, I was like, man, have I been playing anything else? Nah, I've been playing NBA 2K because I'm grinding on my character. And you know, as you know, thank you to Jay Giss for putting out the word, but the coach for the Kingsguard was looking for some people
to run some
scrimmages.
Really?
Against the Kingsguard, so I'm probably not going to play anything else until some of these E3 games that I want come out, because I am just about to get to 90 probably tomorrow. So
okay, yeah, congratulations.
That's awesome.
Appreciate it. Well, this is for the second time. Last night I got to 91 on Switch. Now I got to get to 90 on PS4. Yeah.
Well, now's the time to get in the game. Like, you hear Curtis talk about it all the time, and there's no better time to jump in because it went on sale during this week.
Right? Yeah, it was $3 on PS4.
Jeez.
So, you know, NBA finals are almost over. We're going to have a lull in basketball into summer league and stuff. So until 2K20 comes out, enjoy 2K20 for, or 2K19 for $3.
Yeah. Nexi, what have you been playing?
I've been playing some Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer.
Ooh, you nice. Getting yourself ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I loved that game when it came out. It happened like three years ago, I think it came out. But I've been getting back into it. I want to completely rebuild a town because of some Animal Crossing New Horizons, which hopefully we'll talk more about during this.
Yeah.
Because I'm so excited. You get to build everything from scratch.
Yeah. So.
And so basically Happy Home Designer, but on an island. And there's so many features of the game that they took from Happy Home Designer that weren't in any of the other games. And that's something I'm really excited about. So, just getting myself prepped for some Animal Crossing. We have 282 days until March 20th.
Let's go.
I have a counter on my phone telling me that.
That's not surprising.
No, not at all.
Court, what have you been playing?
Oh, thanks, David. Thanks for asking. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch. Apparently, I'm a full-time streamer now, everybody. I've streamed like 3 times in the last week.
Wow.
Yeah, at least an hour. So
damn, slow down.
I originally committed to just like, you know, Bachelor. Whenever the Bachelor's on, I'll stream.
Yeah.
But then I realized that you don't have to stream with your camera on. There's no rule in Twitch. And I just started streaming Overwatch whenever I would normally play. Mm-hmm. I just go live, no camera. If you happen to go in there and I see your chat, I'll chat. But otherwise, I'm just grinding competitive and, you know, having some conversations with folks. So it's been a lot of fun. No pressure. When you turn that camera off, all the pressure goes away. It just feels like you're gaming. Like, that's why I stopped. I didn't like streaming so much. You feel like, especially when a camera's on, there's like this, I need to entertain you. I'm worried about looking into the camera when I talk sometimes, you know, the self-conscious whatever. Okay. And when you don't have a camera, all that shit goes away.
Word.
So I'm really enjoying it. Expect more streams from my channel, What's Up Pizzas. So it's twitch.tv/What's Up Pizzas. And I'm just probably going to be playing a lot of Overwatch because my main account placed in plat for this season, like middle plat, and my games have been so good. Once you get out of that rut, that gold hell, and you start getting to a level where people actually communicate and are swapping characters and generally want to win, it's been, oh, so good.
Sounds fulfilling.
Super fulfilling. So, yeah, that's what you're playing. We appeased the gods, and now it's time to talk about E3. So we got to see the rest of the stage shows. If you guys listened to the last episodes, we did... what have we done so far?
Xbox,
and
what was on Monday?
Bethesda. Yeah, and we did a lot of pre E3 tea, but now we're gonna get into the real tea. We had, let's just start with Ubisoft. What did we think of Ubisoft, guys?
Say it, Nixie.
Go ahead.
Ubisoft.
Did you say Ubisoft?
Yeah, she did.
Oh,
awkward. I like her argument, though, when she asked us before the show. Did you say Ubisoft or Ubisoft? Ubisoft. Oh, okay, then is it Uplay?
Yeah.
I was like, damn.
Is it okay. Uplay?
All right.
Well, there's a dash. Like, it's you to mean you and then play. Anyways, we got some interesting stuff from Ubisoft. One of which I think would be the most interesting, which we might as well just start with, is Watch Dog Legion. So they gave quite a bit of stage time. I'm not a fan of Ubi's, like, stage show, like, ethos. I like Nintendo and Xbox where it's, like, 90% like trailers and video content and then just talking kind of when they need to or a few targeted times. This one felt like they were just talking way too much about games that weren't quite as significant. And the one with Watch Dogs was a watch. It was like 20 minutes.
What? I think the difference, and that's a character for Ubisoft. But I think the difference is, like, you have, like, Nintendo, you have Xbox, they come out, they're putting on an entertaining show. It's a stage show. Like, it's there for entertainment, and that's what they're trying to capture the audience and keep them there. The Ubisoft is more of a press briefing. It's exactly what it's called. It's like a presentation. They're there, and they're explaining everything that went into the game, almost like they're trying to pitch it to investors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It seems a little old school.
Oh, it's 100% old school.
I feel like all of the ones used to do that, like, and that's kind of like the Carbon template. But yeah. Anyways, they showed us a nice long video. There was a lot to infer, and then they ended up, you know, kind of confirming what you saw. So basically, in this version of the game, you get to play as anybody. Any NPC that you find on the game has his own name, specialties, and you can take that person and bring them as a part of the resistance to fight against the man. What did you think about this one, Curtis? Just kind of the trailer.
Ubisoft, what game? What game?
Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs? Oh, it looked great. This is Burnthal, right? No. Oh, Watch Dogs? Okay, then I didn't even see it.
You didn't see this one?
Nah. Next year. I'm not really a Ubisoft fan. I like Ubisoft, but I don't really like Ubisoft.
Nexie, what did you think of it?
I liked it. The part that really sold me on it was the fact that you could play as an old lady.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's so different. It's so cool to me. Like, there was something so funny about watching that trailer and then seeing that old woman, like, controlling that drone, and then she turns around and she has this mask on, and then she starts beating up those, like, whatever the hell they are. Like,
yeah.
It's so awesome. And then when she tries to go over that rail, and it's just a very slow, just a slow vault, it's so good.
She walks, she's almost limping.
Yeah.
Her ultimate ability is fake a heart attack.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I think her, that was pretty darn cool. And, like, yeah. I did find that fascinating about the first one, too. Like, if you hold up your phone, you could basically hack them and see an entire list of their specialties or their social media, if they're cheating on their wives. Like, it was really kind of cool.
Yeah.
And I remember being amazed, like, oh, that's kudos to them for going through, like, every NPC and making sure they had something interesting. This takes it to the next level. I'm just worried about that as your selling point, because I'm sure they have several move sets. Mm-hmm. You know, they probably have male who can fight, male who's a nerd, old lady, female MMA fighter.
Right.
Female, you know, whatever. And so they have a few different ones, and then they're just going to kind of feel randomized, you know, like,
yeah,
it's gonna lose its luster a little too fast if they didn't put enough variation in it. That's the one thing scaring me about it. But overall, I think they did a pretty cool job with that trailer. Like,
yeah,
permadeath is the thing in that, this,
and that's cool. And then you just go and you pick from another operative in your resistance.
Yeah, and what was, like, the little detail I noticed is that later on, after they, you know, because they started the mission with the dude. And he got killed while he was trying to rescue the kid. And then the kid at the end says, like, hey, where's that dude who tried to save me? And the character you were at the moment said, oh, he didn't make it. I thought that was a pretty cool little if-then program.
Yeah.
To say that later to make it feel more succinct, like a grand story.
Well, I want to know is, inevitably, it's going to be some sort of leveling system. So if you start out as one dude, and you level up this one dude to 10. Mm. And then say you go to, like even if you're not dying, you don't die. You just pick another operative to control. Is that a different level? Do you have to level up that one? So, because my initial thought was like, okay, so like in the beginning of the game, let's like recruit a bunch of people. That way if you die, then it's not a big deal. But if you spend all this time building up one guy and then you transfer into another person and they're not built up yet.
It gives it weight.
It gives it weight, yeah, 100%.
A game that already does this is State of Decay 2.
I played a little bit of that, yeah.
Yeah, that one is it's included in your Games Pass.
Yeah.
And it's basically permadeath. You start, it's zombie survival. So think of, you know, Walking Dead or something. And anybody you meet in the world, you could bring into your compound, and they have special skills that make them unique. But in that game, you have to send a lot of people out to go get supplies and things like that. and they can get jumped by other humans. They can find a swarm of zombies, and if you lose that person that you've invested all this time into, they die.
Yeah.
They're gone. So it's a bummer. Any final thoughts on that one before we move on to the rest of Ubi?
No. I need to see it. I need to see more, but that's probably going to be a buy.
I think so, too. The next one we had from them that looked interesting was Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint.
I'm so ready for this game.
They tried to recreate a little Keanu magic by having John Bernthal come out.
I think it was up there. He wasn't. What made it different was he was more put together than Keanu.
They put that whole thing together in 24 hours.
Yeah, exactly. They were like, shit, they got Keanu. Yeah. My cousin's friend just met John Bernthal, you know, the Punisher. I bet he'll do it. And they programmed it overnight, and there he goes. Yeah. No, but he showed up with his Doge, which was very nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
very Twitch.
Very Twitch. He then, I couldn't tell if he was reading the prompter, but he was into this shit.
Yeah.
I've seen this dude talk at panels. He's a hard mother effort. Like, yeah. You know, this dude doesn't fuck around.
Is he a veteran?
I don't know if he is.
He kind of carries himself like he is.
He's an actor.
But he's an actor, exactly.
He punched Jonah Hill once.
So well, hey, there you go.
He got that going for him. He was, you know, he just seems like, I don't know, relatable dude. And he goes up there and he's really trying to sell this game. And what was kind of interesting is we've played Ghost Recon forever. Like, and they're good. They're quality shooters, story-driven. This one, they're really putting emphasis on the bad guys.
Well, I think it's because this one... So, did you guys play Wildlands?
Mm-hmm.
So, Wildlands, you're ghosts, and, like, you're in this open world and stuff like that. And so, I think what they're doing now is, because it's... That was such a good game. Like, it came out to, like, really underwhelming results. But, in my personal opinion, it's such a good game. One of my favorite games. That it was such a good game already, what else could they do to improve upon it? And they kept all the critical things, and they, you know, added some more. And I think that's the main thing that they added, is now this time, this enemy that you're fighting, they're you. They're ex-ghosts, and they went rogue. Okay. And so your fight, it makes it, like, it takes it to a different level, which is, I think, why they're marketing the enemy so highly.
Ghost Recon has needed help with its enemies. Like, the first one I played, Advanced Warfighter, back in the day, mm-hmm. I remember being a little controversial because the enemy were Mexicans. Like,
okay.
Like, those were the big terrorists. You're going down to Mexico, and it was just, I don't know. It's usually in America, it's like, oh, they got to be terrorists or right. something. No one says, okay, they're Canadian. You're going to go into an airport and slaughter a bunch of Canadians, and you're going to have fun. Like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Well, like, Wildlands, similar as Bolivia. And you're fighting a, you know, massive drug cartel in Bolivia.
Yeah.
And Bolivia was pissed. In real life, the country of Bolivia was pissed.
Nobody wants the, you know, the games are too real.
Yeah.
Nexi, what did you think of Bernthal and talking about Ghost Recon?
I know nothing about these games. And I personally, like, I don't know, I didn't pay very much attention to it. It wasn't something that I was super interested in.
But it was Bernthal, and there was a dog.
Okay, the dog. The dog is all that matters.
There we go.
That's it. The dog is the real MVP.
The show, right?
Yes.
Bam, bam, the dog.
The dog was their Keanu.
Yeah, it's true. Just Dance 2020 had an interesting stage presence as well. They started.
Interesting is a word for it.
They did one of those, like, it starts as a video, and then it becomes real life. Type of thing. So they showed like a cutscene of these people, like, I guess, characters within the game, and then they just did like a live demonstration where the people dancing looked nothing like how you dance in that game. Mm-hmm. Like, the game, I've seen people just cheese it. You just move your wrists a little bit. It does not resemble dancing, but they put out like a full choreographed thing. They went between like a Taylor Swift song and then, what's the group? The K-pop group that they... Blackpink?
Yeah, Blackpink. But that was a Taylor Swift song in the beginning. Was it Panic at the Disco?
Was it?
Yeah.
They're all in the same bucket to me when you're this old. Any interest in Just Dance anymore?
Nope. I'm going to get it for my kids.
Oh, well, I'll play that. It.
I love Just Dance.
There we go. It'll be okay. Just Dance. Okay, Just Dance. That's right. I almost got it mixed up with Dance Dance Revolution. Dance Dance Revolution all day. Just Dance.
Oh, yeah.
Like I said, I'll get it for my kids and I'll make myself look like an idiot in front of them. They'll get some laughs out of it.
Yep. And basically these games are just like expansion packs anyways. Like there's not, they didn't really go into depth on super new features or anything. It's just more songs, more of what you love.
Where?
The next one, and there's only one big point to hit on this stage show. Square Enix. They came out and it was a snooze fest. It was very Resident Sleeper, if you were watching the Twitch chat. And then they showed the Avenger game trailer. The one that we last week were all excited about. It was the one thing we were like, we haven't seen this one yet. This is what's going to blow us away. You got it. It's in your court. And I was underwhelmed.
I was whelmed.
You were whelmed.
That's I was whelmed.
That's an improvement. Curtis, did you see this one yet?
Yeah, I was whelmed. It started off like, okay, there's something here. And then it was like, okay, or this seems like an original story. I can get behind an original story. Oh, you're in San Francisco. I'm not far from San Francisco. I can get behind that. And then it literally, like, it went, you know, I gradually went from, like, 3 to, like, 6. And then it just, like, stayed at 6. It just stayed there. So yeah, I was very whelmed.
Was it because of the lack of gameplay?
The lack of gameplay, that's something that always kind of gets underneath my skin. But it was kind of more like the story. Like I ended up, like, it started off being interesting, and then once I really got into it more, and you know, Cap's dead and this and that, I was like, okay, that's whack. And then I saw, like, the models that they use for the different characters, and the only one that I really liked was Bruce Banner. Everybody else, I didn't.
They were weak. They were kind of. They were almost like, who was it? I saw a meme that was basically like it was the stunt doubles.
Oh no! Like, they made Tony Stark look like Dave Grohl.
Yeah,
was what it was. Like it was weird. That's getting the most flack, and I think it's rightfully so because they've been pitching Avengers, you know, right along the same time that this movie's coming out. Mm-hmm. And so there's kind of like an expectation of
this is going to be them.
Yeah.
You see who voiced Iron Man?
Uh-uh.
Nolan North.
Okay.
And so he tweeted out, "I am Iron Man." Oh, I was God. Like, oh, damn. That was good.
That's a fire tweet.
Yeah.
But they really should have, if they couldn't get the license. Oh, just like Special Cases is saying here in chat, if they couldn't get the likeness rights to the actors, they should have at least made them look more like the comics.
Yes, 100%. I've never agreed with Special Cases more than I do right now.
That's true. And again, Ruru 2 in chat nailed it. Walmart Avengers.
Sure. It is. It's like the knockoff action figures.
Yeah, which in contrast to, we could skip around just for the sake of conversation, but we got to see Ultimate Alliance 3
in
the Nintendo presentation. Mm-hmm. That's how you do it.
That one actually
that's more
good.
Comic-y.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Yeah. If you're not going to do it, I like it was almost cel-shaded animation, but not quite cel-shaded animation. I liked it.
And we got, like, a larger-than-life in this. Here's a good thing. I just came to me now. Like, in the Square Enix one, it seems like they're grounded in reality and trying to make it gritty, kind of closer to what we get in the movies, you know? Like, they're trying to get us attached to the characters, and now Tony has a beard because it's dramatic.
Yeah.
And this other one was straight comic book lore.
Oh,
it's like, you got the Black Order and Thanos, and they're getting Infinity Stones, and Magneto has one, and Explosion, and all catchphrase, and it was just fucking fun. Curtis, what do you think of the contrast between the two?
I mean, one did it right, the other one did it all right. I think you can, to me, you can see who cares. I feel like who cares a little bit more, and maybe that's not the story. Like, you know, like I said, maybe at the back of it, you know, it was cheaper to get the likeness of the people that they found. But I don't know. I love that world. That's like the cartoons and the comics, and the comics and the cartoons are like where it all starts for me and where it all ends for me. And the movies are great, but like, you know, I don't need it grounded in reality so much. I just need the grand epic tale. I need to be able to play whatever character I want with all of my friends, you know, doing these crazy power-ups and team moves and all that stuff. Yeah. Like, that's what I want. It's funny that they, when I was watching the little the Nintendo thing when they were sitting down with them, the treehouse thing, is that what it's called? And they were like, yeah, you know, like, not many other games have, like, put everything all in together, you know, like this since the last Alliance. And I was like, well, actually, that's not true. The Lego game has been dope. Every time they do the Lego Marvel game, they do the same thing. They put all the characters in there. They put all the villains in there. They give you a great story. And that's why the Lego games, I feel like, are consistent with how well they do, because they always go into the lore and they go into the essence of what it's all about. And then from there, they just, you know, slap that Lego sheen on top and make it fun. And that the Ultimate Alliance has been the same way with the previous game, which, even though the graphics were what they were, it, again, it was the essence. Like, I can just get on there with Leek, and me and Leek can be on the DSs, and we can just go ape. And that's what this game is.
Yeah.
Did you ever beat Lego, Marvel Lego, Corey?
Shut up, David. Game's the hardest game ever created. Fuck Battletoads. This game is hard. And then also, the other thing from Square... The other thing from Square Enix was, of course, they showed a lot more of that Final Fantasy VII remake. So they're giving it HD. We already knew this was coming for a long time. And this is the one they're also making episodic, I believe, right? Don't you have to buy it in pieces?
Is that how
I think they are.
Is that the one? Chat can correct us if we're wrong. But a lot of people lost their shit. It was really cool to see, you know, the Cloud from Modern Age, you know, incorporated into it. They revamped the battle system. But Final Fantasy, not my cup of tea. Anybody else in here play the Final Fantasy game?
I played, what's the newest one, 15?
I couldn't even tell you, man.
The one that came out and they were like, hey, like, this is... the least connected. Like, this is a good jumping in point if you never played Final Fantasy. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna play it. I didn't play it for very long. I don't know. I'm not. It's turn based. I'm not a turn based game player.
I think I also got off on a really bad foot because there was the Lightning series, which came out. I don't know if that was 13, maybe. And it had a few different versions, and the one I had was like number 2, Finest Lightning Returns again or something. And it was on rails. Like, the combat was pretty good. It was a little action based, but the whole game was on rails, and I was like, oh shit, Final Fantasy, I'm ready to get into some story, you know, let's go, let's do some open world exploration,
yeah,
you know, character building stuff, explore my habitat. This thing was on rails, and and it's not no fault of the Final Fantasy original games. I'm sure they're fantastic, but they just missed me.
Yeah, I feel like Final Fantasy is kind of one of those games where, like, if you didn't grow with it and you try to, especially hop into some of the previous games or even a little bit with the newer ones, I think you're gonna have a difficult time connecting. That's kind of how, you know, just like what it is with Harry Potter and whatnot. Like, if you didn't grow with it.
Yeah,
that's true.
Probably not gonna get it, because it's just like me. I don't really give a damn about Harry Potter. I give two grand. Yeah, exactly. And my other half here, my other birthday boy, you see his reaction.
Yeah.
So
appalled.
Yeah. What was it? What was the other word? Dumbfounded.
Dumbfounded. I'm shooketh.
Shook.
Besides that, now we can get into the good one though. So there was, I mean, those were fine. I think overall this E3 was pretty underwhelming, and I hate to be that guy because I was really trying to be positive about it. Like, I don't think the Microsoft one sucked like everyone is saying. I'm reading a lot of, like, you know, we grade them all and they didn't give anything like higher than a B. Everything gets, you know, D's and F's,
right?
But I would say Microsoft was good. I'd give it a solid B, you know. But overall, this event has just been pretty underwhelming.
I would say
it's just been whelming for me. It's kind of just been like, all right, it's nothing sticks out with it. Like, okay, when a actor or actors that are presenting the game stick out more than the majority of the games in the whole E3 press briefing series, that's when you know there's not really exciting games coming out. I mean, you got Cyberpunk 2077.
Yep.
That game looks cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those that's excited about the new Wildlands game, but like, I don't think that's a majority. I think it's probably, you know, a smaller number of people. And then there are other games that look cool that I'm, you know, excited for. But overall, it was kind of like okay, this was the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, luckily, Nintendo was here, and they were another highlight. I'd say Microsoft and Nintendo were definitely the best. In last year, like you might think, oh, obviously they're the, you know, the big companies. But I think last year Bethesda threw down pretty hard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think they fell super far from grace. Like that was a very big fall. But Nintendo came back and they were bringing the hits because they started off strong mm-hmm. with some Smash news.
Yep.
They gave us the hero from the Dragon Quest series.
Right.
And I don't know much about Dragon Quest. I know it's the person who designed the characters was the same artist that designed Dragon Ball Z characters.
Yep.
So for the people who I saw online that were saying that Goku couldn't fit, you know, just because, you know, the character model would just look weird, that kind of disproves that.
No, it wasn't that. Sakurai came out and said that basically, in so many words, that the property owners of DBZ don't want to play without, you know, basically us paying a bunch. So that's why his world can't get in. It has nothing to do with the design of the characters. And it's funny, when it was rumored that it might be Dragon Quest people, I was like, y'all better enjoy this because this is the closest y'all gonna get to Goku. Because if Sakurai said it's not gonna happen and it's about money, then Goku ain't getting into this game.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've never played Dragon Quest, and that's something I've ever been interested in. But for people who do enjoy it, like, I'm stoked for him. It kind of reminded me a little bit of like the additional incorporation of all the, how do I lose it, Fire Emblem characters. You know, okay. They kind of set it up like that, where with a few of them, it's one. Well, with Marth and Lucina, it was a little bit like that. But I like that they're going to put them in there, and then they put a bunch of different ones, I guess, from different characters from the Dragon Quest game, and then from the different Dragon Quest games.
Yeah.
So it's feeding that audience, and what it's going to result in, cause just like with Persona. Hey, we brought these people in, and then what's going to happen? A bunch of people are going to be buying it. A bunch of the Smash streamers are going to be streaming it.
Yep.
I saw Zero playing Banjo-Kazooie earlier today, which I guess we'll get into that here soon.
So big news there. They started out the gates pretty strong, and then they did a subsequent, like, basically, this must be a bigger deal with the publisher of Dragon Quest, because Dragon Quest XI, the mm-hmm. definitive edition, is coming out.
Yep.
And I think, like, every game in the past from Dragon Quest will be made available. And that was kind of a theme for them. They kind of went through and just announced a bunch of franchises. And, yeah. like, basically, we have all their back catalog now.
Yeah. So it was with that, with the, oh, gosh, the Mana game.
Oh. Trials.
Yeah, Trials of Mana. Yeah. They have, like, the Secrets Star of Mana. Online. All of those games are
right.
coming back. I'm actually really Star excited Online to try too. Those.
Did they really?
Fantasy Star Online 2, yeah.
For Switch?
Yeah.
Sick.
I missed that part.
Wait.
Are you doubting yourself?
Yeah, now I am.
Fact check.
Yeah, because...
That may have been during the Xbox conference. That
might have been big news. what else did we get to see thrown in there? Link's Awakening.
Yep.
So, I kind of... And this is another one that missed me as a child. Okay. But apparently, this was an incredible game. I watched the video game historian.
Oh, yeah.
Gaming historian. He did an episode recently about when they announced this remake, kind of telling the story of the developers and how, you know, the first Zelda was good and all, and then there was a developer who had all these ideas for new mechanics, like bombs on arrows and all sorts of cool shit.
Yeah.
And basically Miyamoto, who I think was making the shots at that point, told him, no, like, it's my, you know...
My
creation. They got the mechanics work that are there. And so they ended up scrapping all these new plans.
Mm-hmm.
And then something happened. People got pulled to other projects. And then this developer and a few others just thought, like, hey, let's stay after work and start working on a Zelda game.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed – people were like, what are they working on? And it got showed around. Mm-hmm. And they're like, this is really fucking fun. Let's build this. And they actually made the game. So there's a really, like, fun, cool history about the people who made Link's Awakening. And it kind of just builds off of that. What have you? Anybody experienced that game, or and what do you think about the remake?
I did not play it. That was one of the Zelda games that I didn't play.
I have a coworker who has bought that game on multiple consoles. It's just been, like, remade or remastered or whatever over time, or ported over, and, like, that was the big announcement for him. Like, he was stoked about Link's Awakening. Like, he was in my office today. Just, like, talking all about it.
Even more than Breath of the Wild, too?
He even said that. He goes, I like Zelda. I like Breath of the Wild, but Link's Awakening is where I'm at right now.
Well, this one, like, and how they kind of justified all the weird mechanics and crazy stuff in that game, because they also, like, borrowed other Mario characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chomp guy.
Chain Chomps and the Goombas.
Chain Chomps and Goombas make an appearance in this game.
That's my new band name.
Chain Chomp and the Goombas.
It's my ska band name.
Yeah, but it's because it's a dream. Like, it takes place in, like, a dreamland. Nexi, you are a Zelda nut. What did you think of this?
I am very excited to play this. I never got the chance to play Link's Awakening originally. That was one of the few Legend of Zelda games that I never played. But I love the style of it, first off. It looks so adorable. And I heard a lot of people actually complaining about the style, being like, oh, it looks too kind of like almost claymation-y. And I find it very, like, very sweet. It kind of does bring you into a little bit of a dream world, and I like it. I've seen a little bit of gameplay from the original game, and I'm just really excited to see how all of that looks on the Switch.
This is kind of cool. It's gonna be gorgeous. I would assume for you, because do you have access to an original Game Boy, even if you wanted to right now?
Yeah.
Oh, you do?
I do.
So, okay, I was thinking like how David was saying, you know, he couldn't get into a game because, you know, it felt dated, right?
Yeah.
Like, you play an older game and it's hard to get back into. Yeah. So, going that far back and trying to enjoy a Zelda game, I feel like, is intimidating for a lot of younger people. So, the fact that they're making an update version for this Switch might be that opportunity to play this one, you know?
Yeah, I could see that. There's, because of how, like, far back, and I even tried playing the very first Legend of Zelda game, and jumping into it is so different from, because I started out with Ocarina of Time and then Majora's Mask on the N64. Those were my, like, first Legend of Zelda games, and, like, it gives you so much story, so much to go off of. And then when you start the first Legend of Zelda, you're just in it. You're just there, and I'm like, I have no idea where to go. I have no idea what to do. Why are these things in the water shooting me and killing me so easily?
Oh, boy, yeah. Like, tutorials didn't really exist too much back then. You were just thrown into a game. That's what the back of the box was for. You pick up
the book. The pamphlet. Yeah.
You got a booklet that told you what buttons to push and, like, some storyline written in there. And then you just, okay, I guess I shoot this thing now. I guess this
is my life now.
Yeah, this is reality. So yeah. I could see that.
It can definitely be an overwhelming experience. But with other, like, not too far later, did those games actually start becoming a little bit easier to kind of understand and play and get into. But so many people just think, like, anything before Ocarina of Time is kind of like
ancient.
Like, hey, they're kind of right though. Well, but doesn't mean it's not good and it's fun, because those are the Zelda games that I got into.
Those are the ones that, like, I don't think people truly give a chance, I would say.
And they should.
We'll just go from one Zelda to the next, because also in this presentation, we learned that there's going to be a Breath of the Wild sequel, which had some people kind of upset.
Upset? Why would you be upset at that?
Well, okay, one person was upset. Like I said, I've been a full-time streamer recently, and Sergeant...
I think that word means what you think it means.
Sergeant Squiggles came in chat today, and he said, I need to get something off my chest, Corey, and I need you to talk about it on the show. And he is upset because he says, out of all of the Zelda games, there's never been a straight sequel. Like, they usually all kind of go way different, off the rails. Like, they're all so unique and different. And that the fact that they're just going to do a straight sequel upset to him.
Was Majora's Mask technically not a straight sequel? Because Majora's Mask, it's the same Link. It's the same timeline. He's just going to a different land.
He's got to come in here. Squiggles, come in here and defend yourself. I put your I was making the argument for you, and I have nothing to back it up.
I can see that, but I honestly, it looked more like a DLC to me at this point.
Exactly. I think it's just a massive DLC. It's running the same engine. I'm sure it's going to... We didn't see any gameplay, so it was just a cutscene. What did you pick up from that cutscene?
I think that... Like, there's so much to take in with that. First off, can I make a little mention of Zelda has short hair now, and I'm living for it. Link's hair is longer than hers now, and I'm just like, I'm here.
Yeah.
but it's very interesting trying to figure out, because you see this this weird kind of mummified dude who's sitting there. And my prediction of that is that that is Ganondorf. That is Ganondorf's body as Calamity Ganon had risen out of him in the previous game. And you're going to be dealing with whatever the hell he's going on with now. But
I'm dealing with this shit now.
Yeah. But that's, you see something at the end of that trailer, when it does a big, like, you see the landscape, and then you see all of this, like, dust from Hyrule Castle, and then it slowly starts rising up, and that reminds me of Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
Because that happened in Ocarina of Time. So it's going to be very interesting to see what they do with it, and quick prediction... I think it's going to come out, best case scenario, holiday 2020 or spring 2021, simply because it's using the same engine.
Well, isn't that too far out, though? Like, that's a long time.
Well, you also have to consider... Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's too far out because we're only seeing that it's, like, kind of started production and yeah. just enough so that it's confirmed and like we are allowed to know it, but when you look back again, Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask came out only a year after because it was using the same engine. And I'm only giving this game the time that it needs because Nintendo has recently been like fully addressing the crunch of making games.
Yeah, they came out with something too. We'll get to that one in a minute. Actually, let's go there next because you know, this is another one that I think you said made you cry.
Yes,
the Animal Crossing trailer.
I cried during the Animal Crossing trailer and during their 24-minute Treehouse Live. And doing a quick tie back to the crunch, Doug Bowser. He had made a statement about how Animal Crossing, the only thing that we saw from the new Animal Crossing game, which was finally titled New Horizon, the only thing that we had saw was back in September 13th of 2019, with Animal Crossing 2019. Basically all we saw, but now they're releasing it March 20th, 2020. And in his statement, he was saying that they want to avoid crunch because they want to give both the players of the games a happy experience, but you need to give the developers a happy experience by balancing your work and your life.
That's kind of like Nintendo.
It's kind of like kosher meat, right? Like, don't stress the animal out before you kill it. And then it's more tender.
Jeez, that's dark.
Yeah. So you're welcome. It's really... because they came out with that statement, I cannot be... As much as I am... It's actually really funny that so many people are impatient about this Animal Crossing game when the point of Animal Crossing is to be patient about your town development.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So hey, that's what time traveling's for. Right. But I don't care how long the wait is at this point if they're really treating their development team well, because that is something that doesn't really get brought up much.
Yeah.
When it comes well, it to has anything.
Been, it's been coming up a lot when it's a problem. It's not too often we get to see it when it's in a positive light.
Yeah.
Because usually the game comes out and then a bunch of, you know, employees start telling all. You know,
yeah. This is known Metroid Prime 4.
What they gave us was, I guess it's on an island now?
Yeah.
I know nothing about Animal Crossing besides that they just made a mobile version. What is the point of it? What's the difference between Animal Crossing and The Sims?
You cross animals. Animal Crossing is going from one part of the land to the other. You're crossing the land with animals.
Okay, for the real version, Nexi?
So anyways, Animal Crossing, you're basically starting this new life. In the previous main series titles, which there have been four main series titles dating back from the GameCube, Animal Crossing population growing. So you're escaping your life, which is very true to real life. You're escaping it by going to Animal Crossing. You're joining... this town of animals, and you kind of just live this real-time life simulator.
So what differentiates it from the Sims so much?
The difference from the Sims is that
you're an animal.
You're a person.
Wait, you're a person?
You're a person living amongst animals. Your villagers, or in New Horizons case, islanders, are the animals.
Do you talk to the animals? So,
yeah. You can talk to the animals. Yes.
You understand them?
Yes.
So are you Ace Ventura?
Yeah. Dr. Doolittle?
What are we talking here? Ace Ventura, Dr. Doolittle? What kind of science are we talking
about? Is it telepathy? How are you communicating with these animals?
I feel like Animal Crossing is more of a kind of wholesome, more of a kitty version of Sims, while also kitty version of Sims.
No.
Oh!
No.
I see what you're
saying. Well, Sims is more of like a bizarre, somewhat very little true to life. Like, you have like real finances. I mean, Tom Nook does put you in debt. Like, your initial bill in Animal Crossing is $49,800. Well, bells. But to put that, like, to kind of make you guys understand bells, a single apple can sell for, like, only 100 bells. So.
Wow, you're going into economics?
Dude.
I didn't
to make you understand bells, an apple...
An apple is 100
bells. It's equivalent to 100 bells.
It's not apples to apples here. It's apples to bells. That's what you need to understand.
Let me put this away, you idiots will understand, all right? Everybody knows how much an apple is, right? 100 fucking bells for an apple, so...
I really like Animal Crossing.
You know what would get me to play this game? Is if there's a twist. And the twist is all of the animals used to be people, too... escaping their life, and they're longer there in the area. Tim Nook turns them into animals. What's his name? Tom Cook.
Tom Nook. His name is a pun on Tanuki.
Who's Tim Cook?
I think he ran for president. Tom Cook. Tom Nook.
Tom Nook.
Tom Nook is an evil wizard that turns people into animals the longer you're in the area.
I'm sold on
your version.
No, I would
blame that more on Rover than Tom Nook. But, There actually is a character who, his name is Zipper T Bunny, and he is like the Easter Bunny, quote unquote, because they don't like celebrate. It's just called like the Spring Festival or something, I think, or Egg Day, I think.
I like what Blood Ocean said right here. It's more cute than Sims.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we needed. That's all we needed.
I'm sorry that I really love this game.
What can
I
you do
it.
In this one that you can't do on the other ones? What was why were they so excited about it being on an island?
On the island, it really looks like you're creating everything from scratch. They're integrating some crafting that you started doing in Pocket Camp. It's that you are the What are you laughing at me for?
I'm laughing at the joke I have in my head.
Share.
On the island, it's not apples that you trade with, it's coconuts.
No, there are apples on the island.
The inner Animal Crossing inside of Nexus will not allow such foolery.
Yeah. What's it called when you're trying to
There's
convert
no Tom
money?
Foolery.
When you're trying to convert money?
Yeah. What's that called? The difference?
Conversion?
Nope. The exchange rate. Boom, the exchange rate.
Oh, okay.
I gotcha.
Exchange rate bells to apples.
Anyways... The difference, if we're comparing it to New Leaf, so New Leaf was the previous main title series on the 3DS,
do you turn
which
any
released
over
six
in that?
Years ago.
Jeez.
What?
6 years?
Do you turn any leaves over in that?
You actually do turn a new leaf because you are the mayor, so that's different from...
Yeah,
everything
you idiot!
Is a pun.
You're the mayor. You didn't know that?
Yeah, man.
From the mayor. I'm getting bottom. Okay. All
right, David, you're not allowed to ask questions anymore.
Anyways, it appears that you're starting a new life on this desert island, and you're not already coming to a pre-existing town. You're creating everything from scratch. You are crafting all of these items, which a lot of people were very iffy about the crafting, but it is optional in some cases, it looks like. So, but that's the main difference, like between this and any of the other... main games of this series is that you are completely starting fresh, starting the way that you want, and it's so customizable.
Okay, and so much so it made you cry. We get it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anybody else interested in this game, tons more details will be coming out soon. The other one before we get to their final piece was Luigi's Mansion 3.
Yeah.
That actually looked pretty darn good.
I was about to say, it did look pretty good to the point where I'm actually considering just getting it just to stream some more, like to have an excuse to stream some more Twitch stuff outside of Ultimate Alliance, of course.
Yeah.
Did it look pretty good?
Oh my
Luigi!
Good.
There we go. Thank you. The kids liked it.
The kids liked it.
When's Luigi going to come to Smash Bros?
Not before Waluigi. Better damn not come before Waluigi. No. If it does, I rage.
I think what the thing that looked most fun about this was the multiplayer aspect. So Guiji is it's like a playable avatar. He has different abilities and weaknesses and strengths than Luigi, and you can pass the Joy-Con over to your buddy, and it's like a good puzzler for two people. So I think that was probably the most feature of that game that I was most looking forward to.
When they talked about the online multiplayer, I was like, come on, guys. Seriously? And then they showed it, and I was like, oh, no. Okay, I get it. Like, yeah. This could totally work.
You work together?
Yeah.
It was a what? Hell yeah.
Yeah, it totally was. Yeah.
It was that kind of moment.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go. It was a what, hell yeah, what moment.
It's like, I would say it's kind of like Call of Duty Zombies in a way, where, you know, you're just working together, and each round is going up another level in the mansion. So I'm sure it's going to get extremely difficult. One of those games that, you know, it's going to be pretty easy to learn but very difficult to master.
Yeah, I'm not so mad that they killed Luigi now. I'm fine with it now that they've shown me the game.
There's so much good fan theories out about Luigi and how he's actually been dead all these years. And
yeah.
I'd recommend it. Go look at it. But they're just theories.
Sure.
Luigi theories.
Sure.
Last thing, the big reveal for them, I think, that was trending number one on Twitter was another Smash character. Mm-hmm. Finally, Banjo-Kazooie joins the cast.
Let's go.
They've been needing, I'm sure a lot of the characters they've been adding from the, you know, Eastern cultures are big and get people really excited. But the Western characters, when it's like a Sonic for us, you know, one of those big franchise types of characters to bring into Smash, those are always fun to get. And I feel like that's kind of the level of character we got out here with Banjo. What did you think about the original, that video that they showed?
That's how you bring in a character. That's how you do it. Nintendo does it right. It's the passion that they put behind, like, the, you know, whatever that character is or that brand. They bring, and it, like they said, like Masahiro Sakurai said, they bring the whole world in. I'm not Banjo-Kazooie was not something that I played a lot back in my 64 days, but I mean, it looked so much like when I was playing when I was a kid. I already kind of knew because the leaks had come out. So when it came out, I was like, okay, yeah, they did it. They made it official. But I have to tell you, like, at first I was like, okay, yeah, they did it. And then the more I watched and I saw the moveset and I saw, like, the his level, I forgot what you call the actual round. What is it called? The spiral something?
The what?
His level from the game.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah. We'll fact check it later.
Yeah,
but they brought all that stuff in there. And I was like, dang, they just do it so right.
Yeah, I think the only ones I would have been more stoked about would have been like a Crash Bandicoot, which we'll probably never see, or Spyro the Dragon. But
I think we still have three more DLC announcements. That's not everything. It's going to be a total of six, if I remember correctly.
Master Chief.
I don't know.
Is it? I mean, okay, hang on. You scoff, but is it so out of the realm of possibility?
No. The only thing I want to see about Master Chief is when he takes off his helmet, it's Keanu Reeves.
Now you've crossed the line.
Yeah. Too much.
Too much.
I think Spyro is kind of a potential for maybe one of those last spots, because that's one of the other smaller announcements they made, is that the whole Reignited franchise series is coming to the Switch.
True. I could see that. Yeah.
So they have talks. They brought him in, and maybe that was one of the conditions. You know, we'll make Spyro. He'd be a fun character in that. What did you think of his kit? They kind of showed some of his moveset.
Yeah.
He looked like some ranged stuff.
Yeah.
Kazooie. You could shoot eggs at Kazooie, which is great because that's how it is in the game. Although in the game, I don't remember you taking Kazooie off your back and moving her legs like a gun. I think she just shot. She's popped up out of the backpack and shot eggs. But either way, it's cool that they include that mechanic as the range option.
They're super good about staying true to those characters, like almost to a fault of breaking characters. Like, they will give you what you know of that character, like Bayonetta, for example, like just in the animations that they use. And even in this, with the character we talked about, the hero, I guess a big part of that game, you know, was the menu system.
Okay.
And so just like Crom, I think, is that the other character where he has like a not Crom.
Shulk.
Where there's like a menu option.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this one, you know, the hero from Dragon Quest is actually going to have like a little tree at the bottom of stuff that you can choose to change the way you play.
Makes sense.
They did a great job with the video, though. It took place in the same, is in Donkey Kong Country.
Yep.
Basically, it was the exact same as the K. Rool when it was just King DK and Diddy. Yeah. And, you know, there's this big noise outside and they run. But now K. Rool was already with them, just sleeping. He was a guy on the couch.
That was pretty funny.
And then they hear a crash go out. Oh, it's actually fucking
Duck Hunt. Yeah,
you know, pretending, and then they drop in with the actual reveal.
Banjo, which was perfect too, because like, speaking of the moveset, how like I think the core concept behind how to design the moveset, you know, was kind of already put in place with Duck Hunt.
That's true.
Yeah,
Duck Hunt had, you know, the combo, the duel, and you know, obviously it's, you know, a bird and a dog. It's just this time it's Banjo.
A bear.
Yeah. California bear.
That was the highlights, I think, from Nintendo. Anything, any final thoughts just kind of on E3 as a whole, David?
Nothing more than like what we already said. This year just seemed kind of, underwhelming. It seemed like all the games that came out, with the exception of like Breath of the Wild 2, I don't think anybody saw that coming. But everything else was all games that we kind of knew about in one sense or another. It was just we got more information on. Some less information than we probably should have at this point. Yeah. You know, like Halo. I'm sure you guys talked about this on the Xbox episode already.
Yeah,
but
we got till holiday 2020.
Yeah.
It'll be next E3 before we get anything of substance.
And we don't have... Yeah, there's no gameplay at this point, and it's a year and a half out. Like, it just kind of seemed... Like, Gears, I think, did the same thing. There's no gameplay in the Gears.
And that game comes out soon.
And that game comes out in months.
Throw together a cinematic and then start developing the game. Quick.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. It's like, oh, crap. E3 is when?
Anybody know John Bernthal?
Yeah. So, it's, I think overall, it was okay.
What's happening with E3 is starting to kind of remind me of what started happening with comic book conventions. You start getting all the actors and, you know, and all that different stuff to show up and have the faces. And I'm not against it. Like, I like that it has helped to build it to where it's semi-sustainable. But at the same time, it's like, you same thing with conventions, comic book conventions. You notice, like, if you go, they're starting to get away from the essence. And what's starting to appear a lot less are comic book sellers and whatnot, so people can collect. So... E3, you know, I'm like, all the different cinematics, I was like, okay, cinematics. I want to see more gameplay, though.
Yeah.
Like, y'all need to start focusing on the games a little bit more, and maybe the marketing. You got to market your stuff, it's a business, but maybe pull back on the marketing just a little bit.
Yeah. I think there's so much expectation around it, too. Like, there's been so many great E3 moments, for example, and, you know, that's where you're supposed to go to be oohed and wowed and stuff, and so then people try and force those moments with information that's been leaked, or maybe we gotta have something big, so let's just drop Elder Scrolls 6, even though we know it's not coming out in 10 years.
You're right.
So they just, there's like maybe this added pressure that makes them make adjustments and decisions that probably are counterproductive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and you're bored if you have one, because, you know, they're going to be asking those same things. But that's why you got to have good leadership to be like, hey, we're going to do our best to make sure we have some of those out wow moments. We're going to put something in there that's cool, that should, you know, bring some eyes to us. But if we put out, like, you see what's going on. If we do all the wow moments and then we put out a game that's not ready to go, or we didn't put enough care into, all the money that y'all want to make, we ain't going to make. And then you're going to be having a different conversation with me. So, you know, let's make sure that we get going on the games over everything.
What did you guys think about, like, overall themes? I remember last year, no microtransactions at the end of everything was was big.
Yeah.
And I think Microsoft had a clear theme. Everything's basically available on Games Pass. Mm-hmm. Get Games Pass. You know, subscription gaming is the future.
Yeah, just like Ubisoft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that was kind of this year's theme, was looking past gaming as we know it.
I think that's accurate. Xbox did that, and then they talked a decent amount about their xCloud service.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know, like, this is what's happening now. This is where we see the future.
Bethesda had their thing on how they're going to make it even better for people who are programming stuff. Bethesda's a weird one, man, because then they come out and they put that idiot on stage who says, Fallout 76 is getting a fucking battle royale, baby!
Oh my god, that guy was so awkward.
Oh, my heart hurt. Like, who told this guy that that's what we needed?
So awkward.
The board.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was, you know what was crazy? Is during the Xbox One, I don't know if you guys talked about it, but they announced Minecraft Dungeons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, the crowd was silent. I actually kind of looked like a fun game. I might play that game, but the crowd was not impressed.
This has been a thing forever. I had heard from people who've gone to those that Microsoft usually doesn't give out alcohol at theirs, and PlayStation would always give out alcohol, and then it would loosen up like the audience, and so you're more rowdy. I think Bethesda was giving them crystal meth.
Maybe. One dude in the front.
There was that one guy who was the Heisenberg that was louder than everyone else, but overall they would just say anything or imply any silence, and then it would get filled with just thunderous applause.
What's that drug in Fallout?
Which one? Is it Radix?
It's the one that you get, like, in Fallout 4. That one person in the town gets addicted to it.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, that's probably what they give. That's where the joke was going.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Great. Good joke.
There ends our E3 coverage. You know, there'll be more stuff trickling out from the event. We can talk about this for a hot second, and we can discuss it more in the after show. Because if you listen to the podcast on, iTunes and stuff like that, we do the show live on twitch.tv/videogame_bang, where we can explore topics even more, directly chat with you guys, and it's a lot more interactive experience. But one thing we should just touch on in this show would be Dr. Disrespect. Famous Twitch streamer. He kind of got this big persona with the mustache and the mullet, and, you know, he makes millions. He's got all this stuff. He was the face of Twitch at one point. He did his first ever IRL stream, where he put on the backpack and streamed his experience.
His first and his last.
So I saw somebody had retweeted, and you know how on Twitter you could see tweets from like 19 hours ago, 20 hours ago.
Sometimes,
whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm scrolling through my feed this morning, and I saw somebody had liked or retweeted his going live for the first time, and it was like 19 hours ago. And it was really weird seeing that, because I'm like, I know what happens. Yeah. Like, I know what that... It's almost like when you see a movie with an actor who's, like, dead, and you're like, this is weird, because I know they're dead, but I'm seeing them right there.
Yeah.
That's what that was like.
It was terrible, and I'm really interested to see... See what the hell Twitch does about it.
Well, we're talking around it. What happened was Dr. Disrespect had a backpack on and decided that it would be a good idea to stream in the public bathrooms at E3.
Because that's a good idea.
I don't know what... And what's crazy was he wasn't wearing a backpack.
No, he had a cameraman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if he had to use the restroom, tell the cameraman to wait outside. I don't know if it was part of his bit. I just saw it on live stream fails with the audio off, basically, just to see what had happened.
Just like a quick... BRB.
Yeah.
Like, just pull up a quick screen. Like, but instead, and in those restrooms, there was a minor visible at the urinals. So, gets worse.
There's rules, people.
We live in a society.
As if live streaming in a bathroom wasn't enough of a crime, a minor was there.
Bro, I'd have cussed him out right there. Like, hey,
yikes.
I
don't give a damn who you are. Could have been Prince.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Prince. I'd have been like, Prince, can you please turn the cameras off, please? But yeah, Dr. Disrespect. I'd have been like, what the hell are y'all? What the hell
it
is
sounds,
wrong with you?
I don't want to name names, but it definitely sounds like another larger streamer that yeah, we all know. Well, it sounds like something that they would have done.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking
but
about.
But I think even they, like, they know the system so well, and they're, you know, they're in it just to make money, even though it's through outrageous things. They even know that
you think that's a line they would even cross?
They know the rules better than anybody because they are tippy-toe dancing on them all day, every day.
True. That's fair.
So this guy, you know, just thinks he can do whatever he wants at E3, jumps right into the bathrooms, gets... banned fairly quickly, and typically I'm one of those, you know, dudes who's like, you know rules, it's kind of there's a blurred line there. I don't know about that kind of ban, that's a little extreme, but that's a law.
Yeah,
and there's, you know, who knows what could have happened or not happened or been shown or wasn't shown, or, you know, that's a high risk area where you go for privacy, you know, for do your business.
Yeah,
a lot of people a lot of people, as in a lot of Dr. Disrespect fans out there, were talking about, don't blame him. The ban is unnecessary. Blame the cameraman. And I'm like, okay, no, because it's not simply the cameraman's fault, because Dr. Disrespect wanted him to follow him and could have said, hey, probably not the best idea to come in here, you know? And it's still Dr. Disrespect's channel that showed this content, and he has to face those consequences of his actions.
Yeah, I mean, let's be real. So, Dr. Disrespect wasn't like, hey, man, you can't come in here.
Yeah.
Wait outside, I'll be back. He was touring around.
Character. Yeah, it was part of his entertainment thing that he was doing. He actually got banned from E3 overall.
Good.
So he's not, and you got to think of it like from E3's perspective, they already got like a huge PR team, and, you know, we've run small trivia events, and you know what our nightmare is, you know, like there's tons of stuff that can go wrong. The stakes are high. People paid a lot of money to be there. The last thing you want is a controversy of some idiot who took a camera into a bathroom and some kid exposed himself.
Yeah.
Like, it could have gone so much worse. This was the best ending, you know, just to get his ass out of there. Twitch give him a ban. They'll probably pull it back later because of reasons. Or maybe he'll go to Mixer
reasons
or YouTube.
As in money?
Yeah, exactly. So that's a whole nother thing, but E3 did the best thing that they could do and just get his ass out, call a ban. But we could talk about this topic more and the ethics of it in the after show. But we got one more segment left. Curtis's Comic Corner. What did Oblivion give us this week?
Thank you, and shout out to Oblivion Comics and Coffee, because they always hook us up with comics to review for y'all. We got two solid ones this week. and kind of a controversial one for me. One that's not so controversial. Silver Surfer Black by Donny Cates.
Oh,
yeah. It's been a minute since I've seen a Silver Surfer comic, period, and the art looked very interesting, so I'll pass it around. Everybody knows, if you've been watching the show, when it comes to comics specifically, I am a huge fan of the cosmic universe. I love the concepts of the beyond, the very fabric that our existence and the universe that we live in are made out of. And then you place us within that, and, you know, the questions that we have, you know, the existential crises that we may face, you know, with, you know, when we are asking, what are we within, you know, this great space that we live in and occupy? And Donny Cates gets straight to the heart of it with Silver Surfer. Most of you guys probably know Silver Surfer is a herald of Galactus. So Galactus was going to devour his world. Norrin Rad, a.k.a. the Silver Surfer, you know, basically sacrificed himself and said, allow me to be your herald. I'll go find other planets for you to devour so you don't destroy mine. And then where we are in the story now is Norrin Rad was with the rest of the Guardians of the Galaxy and some other people when Thanos' will was being read in the Guardians of the Galaxy comics. The Black Order showed up, started booting everybody around, and threw Silver Surfer and some of the other heroes into like this... some other dimension.
You know how these comic books go.
Right. But like I said, I love the sci-fi element of it. And I love that, like, we find ourselves with Silver Surfer. And he's like, I'm the one, I have cosmic awareness, I wield the power cosmic, I am the one most equipped to get us out. I'm feeling defeated, but I can't allow how I feel to dictate what the outcome of this is and me saving these heroes, because maybe I'm the Herald of Galactus and maybe, you know, maybe I have a dirty job, but these people are true heroes, Beta Ray Bill and all those guys. So I need to do what I can in this situation to make sure they survive so they continue to avenge people. So I thought it was great. I loved all the questions and the monologue that Norrin Radd, aka Silver Surfer, was having the whole time. Donnie Cates has been someone that I've kind of been back and forth with here and there, but this character, the way he wrote it, and he wrote it, I feel very much like Jim Starlin, who created Thanos, Gamora, and Drax. Very similar to how he wrote the old Silver Surfer run that kickstarted Thanos' quest that turned into Infinity Gauntlet. So for y'all still coming off of the movies and feeling high on it, you want to get into this and get back out in the cosmos. So that book's going around for everybody else to check out. The next one, I am not the biggest fan of Brian Michael Bendis. I'm not. There's been some things that he's done that were really good, like his Daredevil run with Alex Maleev, and then there's been some things that have been utter basura,
Bantha Poodoo.
Word. All right. For lack of a better term, like Civil War II, which was just terrible.
Yeah,
that was god awful. But this, and I'm also not a fan of what he's been doing with Superman. Excuse me. When he came to DC, but I'll tell you what. He built up to this event called Event Leviathan, and I really, really dig where he's going. Brian Michael Bendis, he's terrible when it comes to continuity. If you give him really established characters like Superman, most of the time he's going to deconstruct them and break them apart and do what he wants to and forget what the writers right before him even did. But when you get him with some lesser-known characters, or if you allow him to buck continuity for an event, you get some good, gritty stuff. It's a return of him and Alex Maleev from that classic Daredevil run in Marvel Knights. It's gritty. It's almost kind of like Reservoir Dogs in the sense where, like, the whole issue takes place in one room, and it's just a bunch of really good dialogue, a bunch of people talking back and forth, trying to discover, like, trying to find out what the other one knows. Can I trust this person? Can I not? I love the fact that this Leviathan character kind of comes in, or this Leviathan organization comes in, blew up Argus, blew up took out Amanda Waller, Task Force X, aka Suicide Squad, kind of took out all the major players, and Batman and Lois Lane go, and there's one survivor there. I won't say who it is, but if you like Wonder Woman, check this out.
I'm not gonna say your name, but rhymes with Schmunder Schmumman.
So it's not Wonder Woman though. I'll say that, but it's someone close to Wonder Woman. And they go in and they're interrogating him, and they're trying to put together these clues. And Lois is a reporter, so she's really good at getting clues. Batman shows up. He is the world's greatest detective. In the midst of him showing up, I'll drop this one. Green Arrow shows up, who's a bit of a detective and is good at gathering clues because he's on the street level. The Question is in there. So basically this group, this, you know, terrorist group, you know, is so secretive and has taken out so many of the heavy hitters so quick that the world's greatest detectives have to pull their resources, come together, and try to figure out what the hell is going on. And of course Superman's not here because he's on another planet.
He doesn't do thinky things.
Yeah. He does punchy things.
Exactly.
And hearty things.
That's why we love him. Yeah.
Indeed. So I will say that Event Leviathan, number one, as much as I can't stand majority of Brian Michael Bendis's uninspired, self-congratulatory writing, my goodness, get this damn book. It's good. Right. And of course, the Silver Surfer Black, pick that up too. You can get them from Oblivion Comics and Coffee. And by the way, like Corey said earlier, if you mention Video Game Bang, get 10% off.
That's
significant. I'm saying that's $90. You spend $100 and you really only pay $99. It's almost free.
Yeah.
If you use David Webb's version of free.
If you mention David Webb, they add on another 5%. So they get 5%.
But if you mention Alpha David.
Mention Alpha David, everything's free.
Everything's free. You just go in, you say, hey, Neil, Alpha David. Tweet us what happens when you do that.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the Video Game Bang. It was a good one. It was a wild E3. We had Keanu Reeves kind of stealing the show, unfortunately. Like,
unfortunately.
Nice if, I mean, it'd be nice if a video game stole the show.
Nah, it's E3.
Keanu in the video game stole the show.
Yeah. So, you know, tell us what you thought of E3 on our Twitter at Video Game Bang, or hang out with us on Wednesday and Saturday nights on twitch.tv/video_game_bang. And if you're in the chat and you enjoyed the show, you can go listen to past episodes on our website, vgbstudios.com. You can subscribe on iTunes and give us 5 stars, Stitcher, or even on Pandora Radio, Audio Boom, all of them. And if we're not there, if you are like, hey, I searched for Video Game Bang on my podcast app and it wasn't there, you tell me and I will get us there. It's not that hard. I can do it. I have the power. Curtis, what's your stream schedule been looking like? What are you doing?
It's erratic because, you know, sickness and stuff. Yeah. So there's going to be some 2K in there sometime. I want to get these two fellers back in there with me because I got my cousin now and I got Malik online. So let's go bang some heads and some 2K. And let's get Emma involved too. I swear. She dunks on one person, she will feel the power.
The game is only $3. Like, Emma needs to buy this game.
Come on, Emma.
Nexi, are you on a schedule for your streams?
At this point, I've kind of given up a schedule, and I just stream whenever I kind of feel like it.
Nope.
I tried doing a heavy-duty schedule of streaming like 40 hours a week at least, and that was too much. So now I'm just kind of here.
David is on the fence. He's coming back, but he may be joining a new platform. What gives, man?
Blasphemy. I'm just looking for a different audience. Make a move. I just want to make a move. Change of scenery. See what happens, you know?
You're down between what? Mixer and
Facebook Gaming.
Ooh, really?
Why?
Yeah.
Facebook Gaming. You want your grandma to watch?
You know what? They're the only ones that replied to me on Twitter.
Because they got nothing better to do.
Yeah, but that's,
they're retired.
Yeah, no one's watching the Twitch thing. They have the Facebook streams.
Yeah.
What did they say to you?
They're just like, because I tweeted out, like, which one should I do? Should I do Facebook Gaming or Mixer?
Us, please.
And they tweeted out, they're like, well, we're not biased, but since we're in your mentions, we think you should pick us.
Yeah. Well, no, seriously, I said that kind of half-joking because the only other time I streamed on Facebook, it tells you, like, your family members, because that's what Facebook is typically for.
Right.
And my grandma would legitimately just be in there asking me questions.
We used to stream the show on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'd be in there, and your grandma would be asking questions. She'd be getting mad if I made fun of you. And
yeah, Grandma Bling. Shout outs to Grandma Bling. So yeah, when do you think, when's your rough schedule, when are you coming back?
I don't have that down yet, but maybe next week sometime.
Alright. And then I've been streaming a lot more on my channel What's Up Pizzas on Twitch. A lot of Overwatch. No cameras, so you don't have to see me. So it's just like the podcast. You hear my voice and you get to see me play some Overwatch. But that was the show for Curtis Fisher, the real David Webb. Nexus was here. My name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.